Muy buenas noches a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat 8.
Good evening to everyone connected in different countries through the satellites Amazonas and Eutelsat 8, and also through the Internet. Today, Friday, February 16th of this year, 2024. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin over there in Bogota, Colombia, where he is at, beginning these days of activities there in Colombia. Today, he is with the Reverend Camilo Montoya and the congregation there. Warm greetings to everyone. Tomorrow, he will be in Soacha, there with the engineer Iván Sarmiento and all the brethren there at that pastor's meeting, which tomorrow will also be transmitted, and Sunday as well, and on the days that they will have activities over there. The rest of the days when he will have activities there in Colombia. May God bless him and use him greatly, and may that visit be of a great blessing for all of Colombia and for every other place where they will be broadcasting those days when our brother Miguel will be there in Colombia. And also, the other places after Colombia, where our brother Miguel will be, in the other countries. Well, soon, all the places where he is going to be will be announced, where we also expect great blessings from God, and may be a journey of great blessing for the work in this end time. Let us read in the Gospel according to John chapter 16, verse 31 to 33, in this message that we will be seeing today. Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, preached on September 4, 2015 in Santa Marta, Mexico. He used the scripture there of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. But let us read in this portion of the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 31 to 33, where it says, Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yeah, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And there on the left side of that verse 33, he draws a Star of David. Jesus Christ, the King of Peace. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message how to know what is not even written, preached on Saturday, May 29, 2004 in Mexico. Our brother William tells us in this message. And now for the physical transformation, it will be under the beginning of the dispensation of the kingdom, which will be open. In other words, the promises pertaining to the dispensation of the kingdom, which will be fulfilled within that dispensation, just as the promises that were contained in the law, well, they were for the law. The promises that were contained for the dispensation of grace, well, in the dispensation of grace, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, that pertained to the dispensation of grace, and for the physical transformation that pertains to the dispensation of the kingdom. And it says that this is when it will be opened at the beginning, which that will happen in our time, where we are at the beginning of the dispensation of the kingdom. By that time, under that full manifestation of Christ in His church, Christ will already have left the throne of intercession. Here he is speaking, remember, he is speaking within the dispensation of grace, and he is showing what would happen in the future when this would be happening. That is, when the dispensation of the kingdom will be open, where at the beginning the transformation will take place. And he says that by that time, Christ will already have left the throne of intercession. Notice how now we are talking no longer as things will be happening in the future, but rather everything that was spoken by our brother William is now being fulfilled. All those things that he was prophesying, that he was revealing that would happen, the news that he brought of what would happen in that dispensation is now a reality. And in different messages, he was speaking as if he were living at that time. But he was typifying what that dispensation would be and how God would be working in the midst of his people. That is why there are many messages where he said, we are in the dispensation of the kingdom, we are listening to the seven thunders, we are in the age of the cornerstone. He was saying all of that in many messages. But he was placing himself in that time where God would be carrying out that. It is like when Brother Branham said that he had already left the throne of intercession, that there was no blood on the throne, and that he had already taken the book. But once he, let us say, realizes the time in which he is living, that is, he goes into that real part of what God was carrying out at that moment, he says, no, he is still there making intercession. That will be later on. When God speaks in that way and in that manner, the elect of God, who would be receiving those blessings, their prophetic insight is activated in that precise time, and they grasp that revelation, and they are gathered and placed in that new dispensation, and then they can see and understand the whole program that God was speaking of at that time, and they are understanding and continue understanding what God is doing at that time in which they are living, which that time corresponds to each one of us, which is the time of the dispensation of the kingdom, where each chosen one of God has been placed, and there on top at the peak, we are seeing all that program and how God was speaking it, typifying it, showing it. And now we are seeing that reality, the fulfillment of everything that was spoken. Now, he continues saying, for that time, under that full manifestation of Christ in his church, Christ would have left the throne of intercession. He would have already completed his church. Notice, his church is already completed. And by that time, we find that still, notice, there will be preaching. There will be altar calls. Many people receiving Christ and preparing themselves to go through the great tribulation. Now notice how that dispensation of the kingdom begins. First, it begins with preaching. In other words, you are going to see the ministry working in the midst of his church in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, where God is carrying out what he promised. First, there is preaching. And everything pertaining to that fulfillment goes on being interlaced, which God's elect at this end time are receiving that preparation. They are receiving all that teaching, which is brought through those ministries to thus give them the rapturing faith, which he said would take place in the great tent cathedral. Now, then the time will come when that stage of the people receiving Christ, receiving the Anointed One, will also be taking place. Now notice, what for? So that they prepare themselves to go through the great tribulation. Each group is going to be preparing themselves for what they are going to receive. No one can be forced to receive certain things if each person is already predestinated, destined to receive that for which they are going to be prepared. A person who is going to be transformed in rapture is receiving at this time the teaching under the tent, under those ministries. The person who's not going to be transformed nor raptured is not going to believe in that promise. He's not going to believe in the way that God is carrying it out. Therefore, he's not going to receive the teaching. He's not going to receive the revelation. And he's not going to obtain the rapture in faith because of not listening. It is as simple as that. And he's going to prepare himself for what? To go through the great tribulation. Because that person is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life to receive that promise. And he is written in the other section from which he can be blotted out. Now he says, because the third pool is for the wise, but it is also for the foolish, and it is also for the world. In the fulfillment of the tenth vision is where his work is being carried out for all the groups. All the groups feel identified with that work that God is carrying out in the tenth vision, in the fulfillment of that vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham. In this fulfillment that is taking place, all the groups are being impacted. Because before, they were not being impacted. The separation was not being carried out. And that preaching of teaching and that rapturing faith was not being carried out. It was not the time before. Therefore, that rain fell on everyone. And notice that at this end time, it is the time when that is being fulfilled before all human beings. And they do not realize it. Mainly, those who are within the group, who came and have been since the beginning, and who were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now they are portrayed there as part of a certain group, which is the group of the foolish. And the group of the elect, well, they are automatically identified with the guidance and the teaching that they are receiving. They identify themselves with the Word because they are the Word. And notice how when he began preaching, he was going to bring the message, marriage and divorce. There our brother William write those groups, which it is at the beginning on the first page. Brother Branham says, he says, good morning, visible audience, and also invisible audience, that is to those who were connected by the radio, across the nation where we're hooking up this morning, those who were on the telephone line as well, see? This gives me a great privilege to come here and to speak this morning on this vital subject. To the visible audience, it's indeed a little confusing. Because there is just in front of me a curtain. Then I have to speak to the right and to the left. And to the invisible audience, I have the auditorium to my right and also the gymnasium to my left. And I am on the floor with the curtains open between, making my right hand and left hand, making my right hand and my left hand. And we've got overflow this morning through the auditorium, also the gymnasium, and also the church down on the 8th and Penn Street. And in the overflow places, the telephone system is taking it down to other places. And he writes, to the right and to the left. And there he writes, curtains in the front. He draws a Star of David, and he writes curtain in the front. And he writes four groups, 8th and Penn Street, auditorium, gymnasium, telephone line. And on top he writes four groups, 1, predestinated, tabernacle on 8, equals the eternal age. 2, the 144,000, auditorium to the right, equals the east, the foolish. 3, the foolish, gymnasium to the left, the west. 4, those who do favors to the elect, telephone line, equals the four corners. Now notice how he places there, after the predestinated ones, the wise virgins, he places the 144,000, and then the third group, the foolish. Now, that is what he told us, that in the 10th vision, in the fulfillment of the third pool, was going to be for the three groups, which would be the four groups, including the 144,000, which on page 119 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1057, there he tells us that the third pool will be and is for those three groups. He goes on saying, therefore, the world will see that full manifestation of God, and the Hebrew people will say, this is what we are waiting for. The third pool for the church bride of Christ will bring the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the transformation of us who are alive. And with that, well, all the blessings will come for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wise virgins. But then, there will also be a portion for the foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamps. And then comes the part for the world. See? The fulfillment of that vision is being carried out by stages. The main thing is God working with the wise virgins. He is preparing them to cross over Jordan on dry ground, which they must have certain requirements and obedience. Now, notice here, in the Book of Quotations, on page 100, paragraph 867, it says, that's the king that shall come to his kingdom, and he writes, church, someday, and his kingdom is now being established in the heart of his people here on earth. And he writes, the king, and he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, the kingdom being established in the heart. Now notice, how will those blessings come for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wise virgins? Notice, they come through his coming in the midst of his church, so that that kingdom to be established in the heart, in other words, in the most holy place, and for him to rule there, in the heart of each elect of God. Notice, to produce that transformation. Because in the spiritual part, he rules our lives. But in order to have that eternal and glorified body, there must then be a change for him to rule in all of its fullness in these bodies, which must be changed in order for him to dwell in all of its fullness. But to reach that point, there are certain requirements, certain steps for that transformation to take place in each elect of God, which took place back then with Abraham and Sarah. It was around the word. Now, our brother William continues saying, but then there will also be a portion for the foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamps, and then comes the part for the world. Notice everything that is coming in order. Now, while the revelation, the rapturing faith, is being given to the elect, the tares are also being separated there. The make-believers are also being separated as well. God also starts moving that group from the midst of the people. And He works with His church bride, while that same word is also making that separation. And each group starts placing itself, each person is placing himself in each corresponding group. And then the works show and continue showing to which place they belong to and where they are going. Each one is fighting, working for what he or she is going to receive. And since everything has wages, well, for the elect of God, the predestinated ones, the wages, the rewards will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. For the foolish, it will be the great tribulation, and also for the 144,000. Because notice, since the 144,000 were not purified, purged, then they have to go through the great tribulation to be purged. But notice that the group that did not want to sanctify themselves and did not want to follow the guide, the Holy Spirit, in order to enter into the promised land of the new body without seeing death, then they will have to go through the great tribulation. In other words, he whose name is not blotted out and did not receive the teaching because it wasn't written there, well, automatically, he must be purged, purified. We can say he will be purified the easy or hard way. Now, he goes on saying, and then comes the part for the world, not for salvation, but to make known to them the condemnation that is established, and consequently the divine judgment that will come upon the human race under the ministry of the one who eats the title deed to prophesy before many people, nations, and tongues. If God is going to make known to the wise virgins the rapturing faith, He's going to make known the foolish virgins that they have to go through the great tribulation, and He's going to make known to the world that they no longer have an opportunity for salvation. Well, He must have a ministry to speak to them, to preach to them. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, His prophets. And that is none other than the one who ate the title deed. As simple as that. In the message, preparing ourselves for what is coming, preached on October 23rd, 2015 in Chile, he tells us, there is where the Son of Man will appear at this end time, so that we stand before the Son of Man. That is the greatest thing that will happen for the blessing of the believers in Christ. For the foolish virgins, there will be an opportunity, yes, but no longer for transformation and rapture, but for their faith to be made firm and for them to give up their lives during the great tribulation, because the Antichrist, the beast, is going to martyr them, is going to kill them. He is also going to martyr 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 from each tribe. They are the eunuchs, or like eunuchs, in the kingdom of the Messiah. But the queen is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the king is Jesus Christ, to whom the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary that God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now notice, with that message brought by Gabriel, no other angel could appear, telling Mary something else. She already received that word, and no other angel could come to tell Mary something else. The next thing that would come, after the fulfillment of the coming of that angel Gabriel to Mary, was that which Gabriel spoke to Mary about, who was Jesus. Likewise, no other messenger, no other message can come speaking the good tidings and telling the church bride that something from God would come, and everything that the dispensation of the kingdom would entail, except through our beloved brother William Soto Santiago. After that angel messenger that God sent, who is Gabriel, no other angel can come announcing the good tidings. The next one who comes after the seven church ages is the one that the Reverend William Branham foreshadowed, and the one who that mighty Archangel Gabriel spoke about. Notice how simple everything is. Both are speaking and were speaking in their messages of that fulfillment of what would happen after the ages, and what that son who would be born to the Virgin Mary, which is his church, would be in this end time. They were speaking, and the fulfillment of that word would be the materialization of what they spoke, what the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord spoke, the Reverend William Branham, and what that mighty Archangel Gabriel spoke, William Soto Santiago, who was bringing to us all the news, the good tidings, as he said there. I have been sent from the presence of God to bring you this news, these good tidings. And the sooner I give it, the sooner I can go to the house of my Heavenly Father. Notice, there he was identifying himself as that mighty Archangel, which in another message, he also spoke of it, and he was already saying goodbye there, because what he brought was the good tidings. No other angel could come announcing good tidings now. After him, no one else can come bringing good tidings. The next one who would appear would be the one that has been in the midst of the church the whole time, who has been born since he was young. In other words, he was born in the midst of his church as a baby. And he was in the midst of the church throughout the whole trajectory. And that mighty archangel watching over the life of that mighty ministry, so that when the time came for him to carry out by himself, then that archangel left. And then God starts to work through him, who the Reverend William Branham spoke about, and of whom that mighty Archangel William Soto Santiago spoke of. Notice how simple now everything is, and how God has opened our understanding, opened the scripture to us, and what he said, that first the church bride would see him and would receive him. That is what God's elect have been seeing and receiving from God. The fulfillment of what was spoken by the Reverend William Branham, and the fulfillment of what was brought of those good tidings by Dr. William Soto Santiago. We are seeing that fulfillment face to face. There is no other message to prepare the church bride to be transformed and raptured, only by the message that was brought to us by the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, William Soto Santiago. Because that message, what is bringing is the knowledge, the revelation of what the coming of the Lord with his angels would be. And without that message, just like the message of the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, what he said, that is why our brother William said, as the Reverend William Branham said it, that is how God will fulfill it. And we see the fulfillment of that that they brought. Now, we are seeing that word face to face being quickened, being fulfilled. And each time we read a message, we say, no wonder he spoke that way. No wonder. Look at how clearly we see it now. How God is fulfilling it in such a simple way. But it pleased God that way. He hid that seventh seal so well that he was in the midst of the people the whole time. Now, notice what he continues to say there. Of whom the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary that God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, well, we see that there shall be no end. Also in the message, the branch that produces fruit from the root of the tree bride, preached on August 7, 2010 in Bogotá, Colombia, it says, our brother William says, for example, the Reverend William Branham was transported to the future in the midst of the church, and he saw a great tent cathedral where they were carrying out activities. It was being preached and calling were being made. People were coming weeping to receive the Lord. They were prayed for, and they were also prayers for the sick. And the fulfillment of that promise was not seen in any of the past branches, even though the seventh branch of the seventh Gentile church age wanted to produce it, but he was not allowed to. Now notice on this message, the anointed ones at the end time, on page 9, he tells us, notice, the same anointing water bring forth the wheat, bring forth the wheat, and there he writes, tares. He wrote tares. The same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that gives them desire to save souls, that gives them power to perform miracles, it falls on the unjust the same as the just. The very same Spirit. That is why when he spoke certain things, and he spoke to the whole group in particular, that is, he spoke to the whole group, and not to a specific group, but to everyone, he was speaking to everyone who was there. Because Brother Branham says that in each group, there are all three of them. They are the believers, they are the make-believers, and they are the unbelievers. But then in a message, we saw that he says that the make-believers end up as unbelievers, and then we're going to leave only two groups, believers and unbelievers. But we put those three like that, which is how Brother Branham was speaking about it, and how the make-believer falls into that category after the unbelievers, into that group. Now notice how that blessing has fallen. The blessing has been falling upon those groups while that mighty archangel was bringing the good tidings. And that blessing would fall. It is like the rain which falls upon the wheat and upon the tares. And how beautiful the tares grow as well. Sometimes the wheat is greener than even that which is good. But notice, it doesn't matter how green it may look or how beautiful it looks. At this end time, that weed, the tares, are being rooted up. And seemingly, you may say, but that blessing fell upon me as well. And look at me, everything I have done in the work. I have done this, I have done that. So that's how they will come, knocking at the door. But I did this and I did that. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, our brother Branham continues here on paragraph 53. Now, you can't make it another way and understand Matthew 24:24. He said, there shall rise false Christ, false anointed ones, anointed with the genuine thing, but be false prophets of it, false teachers of it. What would make a man want to be a false teacher or something that's true? Now, we'll get down to the mark of the beast in a few minutes, and you'll see its denomination. And there he writes, false teachers. See, false teachers. A false anointed. Anointed Christ. But false teachers. It's the only way you can see it. Just like here some time ago, I have quoted this. I might quote it because we're hooked up across the nation. One day, I was talking to a friend of mine, where this is coming in this morning in Arizona. And he had a citrus farm. And he had a tree there which was an orange tree that was bearing grapefruits and lemons, tangerine, tangelos. And I forgot how many different fruits there was on that one tree. And I said to the man, I said, how is it? What kind of a tree is that? He said, the tree itself is an orange tree. I said, what has it got grapefruits on it? Why has it got lemons on it? He said, they are grafted into it. I said, I see. Well, now, I said, now, next year, when that tree comes forth with another crop of fruit, which they are ripening about the same time, now, notice that, they mature at the same time. I said, then, it will bring forth altogether oranges? If it's a navel orange tree, it will bring forth the navel oranges. Won't it, sir? He said, no, sir. Every grafted branch will bring forth of its kind. I said, you mean that lemon vine will bring forth a lemon out of that orange tree? He said, yes, sir. Notice, let us say that the orange tree is the church, and those lemons are grafted in there. And you see, at harvest time, and lemons are bitter, sour. I think it's one of the fruits that a person, no matter how beautiful they are, if they put it in their mouth, they make a sour face and they wrinkle up completely. And like babies or children, when they are given something sour, same thing, they make a sour face. That is, they completely react like they don't like it. Lemon is one of the foods that is sour like that, when it's a really sour lemon. Such are those who are grafted in compared to lemons. The fruit they bear is bitter, sour. That is why he says that by their fruits you will know them. He said, yes, sir. That is when I said, you mean that lemon vine will bring forth a lemon out of that orange tree? He said, yes, sir. There he writes, the orange tree and the grafted branches and the orange's branches from the roots. Here in Puerto Rico, they called oranges China. And there he writes, China. Will the grapefruit bring forth a grapefruit out of that orange tree? He said, yes, sir. That's the nature of the branch that is grafted into it. I said, praised be to God. And he writes above, the children of the kingdom and the children of the wicked one. He said, what do you mean? I said, one more question. Now, will that orange tree ever bring forth oranges again? He said, when he puts forth another branch. And he writes, another apostolic group. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now, another apostolic group, that in the book of quotations there is a place where, let us see, where he tells us about all of this. Notice on page 4b of paragraph 44, it says, paragraph 43 of page 4b says, what we need is about 3 months in a tent setting out here somewhere with some real apostolic teaching. He's already showing there that that branch, which would be coming from the trunk, that is, from that base there, that apostolic foundation, because he says that the apostolic days will be repeated, and that is what is happening at this end time, how God is fulfilling that promise progressively. Ministers every afternoon, get back and get in the right swing. The thing, we just went high wire, not because they wanted to, but it's the trend of time. And there he writes, the tent and the apostolic teaching. And he also writes above, the apostles thought a new dispensation, apostolic teaching in the tent. Now notice what he's telling us here about that apostolic teaching and how that other apostolic group would be appearing in the midst of the church in a great tent cathedral. Let us see another place here where it was also spoken of this. Let us see on this other book of quotations. This one is on page 111, paragraph 970. It says also there, and then, as we said this morning, trying to get the church into the place to where we could really see apostolic times moving among us. That's what we all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door. And there, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he writes the apostolic times and an arrow pointing toward the cornerstone. Notice where that branch, that apostolic group, would be sprouting. It is in the age of the cornerstone, which did not happen in past times. He continues saying, I'm on paragraph 57 of the Anointed Ones at the end time, when he puts forth another branch, not when one is grafted into it. Notice, not when it's grafted into it, but they're all citrus fruit, and they live off of the citrus life that's in the citrus tree. I said, there you are. The Methodist will bring forth Methodist every time. The Baptist will bring forth Baptist every time. The Catholic will bring forth Catholic every time. But the Church of the Living God will produce Christ from the root, the Word every time, if it ever puts forth another vine of its own. What will produce? It will produce Christ. And he draws an arrow and draws a cornerstone, and on the bottom the ages, but the arrow points to the cornerstone. Now, you can graft it in there. You see? Every grapefruit, lemon, tangelo, tangerine, whatever the citrus fruits they are, every one of them can live in that tree, but bearing false witness of the tree, living by the tree. what fruit are those bearing? That were fruits grafted into it? They are bearing false witness, living by that tree. In other words, they are living, let us say, living off the message brought by the forerunner and the message, the good tidings, brought by the Archangel Gabriel. Living off of that message and bearing false witness of it. You see it? They are living and thriving on the genuine life that's in that tree. Now, there is Matthew 24:24. Living by the same life. But they wasn't right at the beginning. They are bearing false witness of that tree. Now, he continues saying here, on page 9, it says, these trees, the true vine and false vine, you've heard me preach on that since, from years ago, how they're grown up together, brought them in individuals, and showed that, from Cain and Abel, the two vines that met at an altar, both of them religious, both of them anointed, both of them desiring life and worshiping the same God. And he writes, the two vines, the two trees, and one was rejected and the other received. And the only way that one that was received could have done anything different from his brother, it was revealed to him. By what? By revelation. For the Bible said, by faith, Hebrews 11th chapter, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. And he writes, Cain and Abel, and the revelation. Jesus said, the spiritual revelation of who he was. Who does man say, I, the Son of Man, am? He said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you. My Father which is in heaven has revealed it. Upon this rock I'll build my church. What? The true revelation of the Word. There is the true vine again. And he writes there, today again, in the root and the offspring of David. And on top he writes, the true vine is in the true revelation of the Word. And right there at the bottom, he writes, Peter, he writes Moses, and the revelation, yesterday and today. Abel by faith, you said, it wasn't a revelation. What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you, that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. And he writes, faith equals revelation. So by revelation, and the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. And he writes, dogmatic teaching. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. Amen. I hope you see that. See where we are living? See the hour? I was talking to a gentleman not long ago, a Christian scholar and gentleman. He said, Mr. Branham, we refuse all revelations. I said, then you have to refuse Jesus Christ, for he is the revelation of God, God revealed in human flesh. Unless you see it, you're lost. And he writes, God in flesh. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Now notice, that is what will happen to those who do not believe in the fulfillment of what was promised, that God would be carrying out in the midst of His church, bringing the rapturing faith to His elect. Whosoever does not believe, it says there, in the time of Jesus, you will die in your sins. So whosoever doesn't believe in this end time either, you will also die in your sins. You will go through the great tribulation. He is the revelation of God, the Spirit of God revealed in human form. You can't believe that, you're lost. You put Him a third person, second person, or any other person besides God, you're lost. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. We have read those verses in these last days. But notice how Brother Branham here is bringing us a great revelation. Now he says, a revelation. No wonder they couldn't see Him. No man can come to Me except My Father draws him. And all the Father has given to Me in the roots will come to Me. Where? In the roots. See? You get it? And he writes, root. Oh, how we should love Him, adore Him, praise Him, to see the fruits of the Spirit in the last days at the bride tree, ripening in the top of the time. And He draws a cornerstone in the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. The true vine and the false vine both had the same anointing. The water fell on both of them. No wonder He warned us. He would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Notice, they look the same. They're anointed the same. But notice, by their fruit. Now notice, how at this end time, when He says that they would deceive the elect if it was possible, is because when God would be fulfilling, when He would be fulfilling that promise, then false Christ, false anointed, would rise to divert the attention of the people and to be disobedient and not receive that which was promised in His Word through the forerunner and through the good tidings brought by our brother William Soto Santiago. They would be rejecting that way provided by God. And then they would be, it says here that they would be anointed, see? But by their fruits, you shall know them. Now, that was what we read here a few minutes ago. That they would be bearing, he says, false witness. In other words, they would be speaking of that message, and they would be placing it and distorting the meaning and the revelation that is there, contained there, to divert the people so that they do not receive the blessings of God. Now, the Son of Man came 2,000 years ago and carried out that work. And then on the day of Pentecost, with that preaching, notice how there it says that they were ordained to eternal life. As many as were ordained to eternal life continue to be added. Now notice how from age to age, God has been calling from the midst of His people, where He sends His messenger. And through the preaching, He calls and gathers together those elect of that age, and they become part of that age. And at this end time, which is why in past ages the resurrection and transformation was not fulfilled, at this end time, He would be carrying out that claiming work, where those who are alive, belonging to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, which is His church, in the stage of the most holy place, the age of the cornerstone, He calls them and gathers them together, and they are placed there. And through His instrument, he will be carrying out that work, making that separation, that segregation. And he will be bringing everything that God commands him to bring. And not one will be lost. Not one of those whom he came to prepare, to transform, to take them to the marriage supper of the Lamb, will be left behind. How do you know it? How do you know that that isn't an orange? Because he's bearing a grapefruit. That vine is all right. It's living in the tree, but it's bearing a grapefruit. It isn't like the first one. And if a church says they believe in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and deny his power, deny his works, deny his word, if the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ, it will have the life of Jesus Christ. And if it isn't, no matter if the life is pouring into it, if it isn't predestinated from the roots, it will bear great fruit every time or something different. But if it is the predestinated life in the roots, it will bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it is the word coming up through the root, which he is the root, the beginning of time. Notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruits. Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapefruit off of a thistle, even though the thistles be right in the grape vine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. And he writes, by their fruits equals the word for the hour. What is the fruit? The word. Fruit for the season. That's what it is. Their teaching. And he writes, their fruit equals the teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is. Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, but or God's word for the season? Now, the time gets away so quick that we could bear on that a long time. But I'm sure that you're here present, and I'm sure you across the nation can see what I'm trying to tell you, for we don't have too much longer to stay on it. But you might see that the anointing gets on the unjust, the false teachers, and causes them to do exactly what God told them not to do. But they'll do it anyhow. Now notice, they do exactly what God told them not to do. And one of the things that he noticed, Brother Branham was very careful about when the angel told him, you won't say anything about this to anyone. And our Brother William also said, I'm not going to speak openly about this so that imitations will not arise. I cannot say this because impersonators will come. And the same ones who today are imitating, impersonating, and doing things according to how they interpret them, they are the same ones who cannot see that they are doing that work. If he can be imitated, how can they be saying that he is going to come back again to preach and finish the work that he left unfinished? Because that's how they put it. They put us in unconclusive God to finish the work, the labor, in a great tent cathedral, to preach and bring the rapturing faith. Nobody could imitate that then. Because when they come back in eternal and glorified bodies. And who is going to imitate an eternal and glorified body? There is a place there that says, they are peanut brains. Now notice. It says that, but you might see that the anointing gets on the unjust, the false teachers, and causes them to do exactly what God told them not to do. But they do it anyhow. Why? They cannot help it. How can a thistle be anything else but a thistle? How can a thistle be anything else but a thistle? No matter how much good rain is sprinkled on it, it's got to be a thistle. There is no way for you to change a thistle. No matter how much good rain or heavy rain falls on it, it continues to be a thistle. That's the reason Jesus said, they'll be so close, it would deceive the very elect, which is in the roots. If it were possible, but it is impossible. A wheat can't do nothing but bear wheat. That is all it can bear. There he writes on the side, the root. And he writes, the anointing also falls on the false teachers. And they do what God said not to do. They are doing exactly what they were told not to do. That is what they're doing. But they are also ordained for that, predestinated to carry out that work. Because if there is no people to do that, to fulfill that, then how is the word going to be fulfilled? It has to be like that. That is why regarding that, we can praise God and glorify God and thank Him, because we are seeing, because we are those children of God who have come from the root, from the trunk, to the age of the cornerstone, and we are bearing fruit 100-fold, because that is the group predestinated by God to bring forth 100-fold, and thus to be the ones that belong to the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. Now, our brother William continues saying here, in the message that we were reading, he says, and now the promise is that there will arise in the midst of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ a great tent cathedral. It will be produced in that branch that will bear the fruit of the last day, the branch of the age of the cornerstone. There is no other place. Now notice in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, on page 39 and page 40, it says, so therefore there is no school, no theology, and no teaching of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. They cannot know nothing about it. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the sense of knowing it from the very elect, teachers, and everything else. It's personal, individual affair with the person that Christ is revealed to them. And if you say, He's been revealed to me, and then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life is in Him, does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. And he writes, if He has revealed Himself to you. If I put a life of a pumpkin into the life of a pear tree, it would bear pumpkins. By their fruits, you shall know them. Exactly right. And if the first, you put out a tree, a grapevine, and put out a bunch of grapes, the first shot it put out brought grapes. The next one brought out lemons, and the next one brought out pears. The next one brought out apples. There is some kind of a grafted affair in there that's bearing its own life. That's the independence group that have emerged after that mighty archangel left. Each one? How did we read it here? Let us see that word Brother Branham used there. Let us see here to tell you exactly how he said it. He said it there. They deny. They deny His power. They deny His work. They deny His word. That's what they're doing. Denying the word. Now notice. The independent groups are the most troublesome groups. He says that the denominations, out of the denominational groups, those are the most troublesome groups. He says, he continues saying, there is some kind of a grafted affair in there that's bearing its own life. Every denomination will bear life of itself. But if that original vine ever puts out another shoot, it will bear grapes like it did the first time. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. They'll write a book of Acts behind it, because it'll bear the same life. See what I mean? Look at that. How glorious. Which is what God is doing at this time. We are writing another book of Acts. And he writes there, for the third dispensation, a book of Acts. Now, he also tells us that in the message, blasphemous names, on page 30 to 31, he tells us there. It says, now, they was looking at that little body that was born of Mary, see? That wasn't God. That was the Son of God. But God was in that body. It was God, he said. If I do not the works of my Father, then condemn me. But which one of you can condemn me of sin, unbelief of the word? Which word has God spoken that hasn't been fulfilled in me? Sin is unbelief. Which one of you accuse me of sin? Sin is unbelief. Show me. If I do not the work of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my, three dots, though you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, for they testify. Otherwise, the Father is in me, testifying of himself. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You get it? Well, now, the same life that's in the vine is also in the branch. And there he writes, Revelation 11, 3-6, Zechariah 4. How are you going to join in that? It can't. I seen a tree not long ago in Brother Sherritt's yard in Arizona, had 9 different citrus fruits on it. What was it? It was an orange tree, a navel orange. But he had a lemon, a tangerine, a tangelo, and a grapefruit. He had all kinds. And I stood, look at that tree, and said, Brother Sherritt, you mean to tell me that that tree is an orange tree? He said, sure. He writes there, the orange tree with the grafts. And I said, well, how? How come? I said, I see a grapefruit here, and a tangerine here, a tangelo here, and lemon here, and all these other groups. How does it come? Now notice that this is what was seen at this end time, in the midst of the church. There was a tangerine, there was a lemon, there were all types of fruits. But the original was also there. He said, well, you see, they are grafted in. Oh, I said, well, I want to ask you something. Now, you pick this grapefruit and lemon off. Now, next year, it will come forth then with an orange out of that? Oh, no, said. It'll come forth with a lemon on it, see? I said, thank thee. See, you can't do that. You can't join in. But he said, every time that tree gets a year older and puts out a new branch, it comes forth with oranges. If the vine itself puts out the branch. And what we try to do is to be joined members into him. And we live under the name of Christianity, because we are, as it's in a common way of saying, we are the citrus fruit, the Christian church. But when the vine itself puts forth a vine, it will be like the first vine it put forth. If the first vine it put forth, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. If it ever puts forth another one, it will write a book of Acts behind it, right? And he writes, an original branch, another book of Acts. Notice. And since those apostolic days come back, well, it has to produce the same that it produced back then in the time of the age of the cornerstone. It will bring forth the same thing. Now, he continues saying, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says there, you just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, being injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living its life through you. Blind leaders of the blind. And he writes, the Spirit living through you. In the message, it is the rising of the sun. On page 22, it tells us. I said, you see that you might know that Jesus told Peter and the apostles, after he had the revelation of who he was, he told him, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He said, blessed art thou, see, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. And what you loose on earth, that's that divine revelation of the Word made flesh. If it was flesh in that day by the Son, the groom, it's the flesh today by the bride. And he writes, the Word made flesh, Adam and Eve, dash, Christ and the bride. Now, our brother William continues saying here, there is where Christ, through His Spirit, will bring forth everything He promised for His church. Let us turn to page 32 in the book of quotations, paragraph 268. It tells us, the Holy Spirit. Now notice, where does Christ go to His church? And where will He produce everything He has promised for her? Notice, it is in the age of the cornerstone, where that branch will sprout. The branch of the age of the cornerstone, it says there, where that age would sprout. Which he says that it will take place in the midst of the church in a great tent cathedral. He says there is no other place. And he says that Christ there goes through His Spirit to bring forth everything He promised for His church. Now let us read here how He is going to go to His church and how His Spirit is going to produce that. Notice he says, the Holy Spirit covers the earth, but it is almost helpless until it gets into you and to me. And there on the left side, He draws a Star of David. God is depending on you and I, see? The Holy Spirit. The earth is full of the Spirit of God, but it's poured out. But it cannot operate until it comes into us, we human beings, to operate. And he writes, for the Holy Spirit to operate, He has to have a man. For surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, the prophets. He continues saying, every blessing God has promised for His church, He will bring it to that branch, in that sprout which is coming forth from the trunk, and it comes directly from the trunk and placed on top of the church, above those seven ages. There was a gap there, and then comes that age of the cornerstone, but it comes directly from the trunk. Notice, after the seven church ages, notice that there was a gap there. But then, on top of the seven church ages, and on top of that gap, which that gap belongs to the dispensation of the grace, which he himself told us that we were entering into the seventh stage in 2000, and that we did not know when it was going to close, and that the memorial of the Holy Supper was going to be carried out until he comes, which he writes there, until the fulfillment of his second coming, which is why it still had to be carried out, because his coming had not been fulfilled yet in the midst of the church. Therefore, that is, that ministry had not been manifested in the midst of the church yet. It was in the midst of the church, but the divine cycle had not yet begun for God to carry out through those ministries the work pertaining to his coming. And God had to be carrying out in the midst of the people that memorial of preaching, altar calls for the people to receive the Lord, because those that belonged to the most holy place had not yet appeared, and they had to enter through that door, and they were given the opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior, wash their sins in the blood, be baptized in His name, and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and have those memorials, which was the Holy Supper and washing of feet. If God had been fulfilling in the midst of His church, in the past messengers, in one of those of the ages, or in the time of our brother William, then the Holy Supper and washing of feet did not need to be done. Do this in remembrance of me until I come. And he writes there, until the fulfillment of his second coming. Now notice, here in Isaiah chapter 11, tells us, verse 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, that is the word, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And there he writes, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And there above, on verse 3, he writes, girdle equals righteousness. And he writes, he will reprove. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And there he writes, Daniel 2:30-45, 7:9-27. And he writes, he shall slay the wicked. 2 Thessalonians. He shall slay the wicked, the Antichrist, the beast. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and he writes Gentiles, and his rest shall be glorious. And here in this other Bible he writes, the most holy place in the church. In other words, where will it be sought? Notice, in the most holy place, which is the church, which is the age of the cornerstone. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pantaros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the isles of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign from the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now notice, you can finish reading that. Notice what Brother William continues saying here. There is where we will see what was called by the angel that appeared to the Reverend William Branham, the third pool. There is where a ministry will be, which will preach even to the lost. If it is a ministry, notice, when you're talking to a friend or talking to a group like this, you will tell them in words like this with acquainted people, you will tell them, look people, look guys, there is going to be a ministry that is going to preach to you, then there's got to be a mouth through which God will speak. What you have to do is to let God open the scripture, your understanding, and ask him, not question him, nor say as the disciples said back then, why do you speak to them in parables? When later on he tells them, explain the parable to us. See? It depends on the question you make God, and God will answer you. But remember that the last elect who will be transformed, if he has any doubts or he's being deceived by those false teachers and false anointed ones, him, God will fight to the very end, even if it is only one. He will get him out of that mess, will place him in the position to receive the blessings of God. Not one, he says, will be lost, therefore. May God open the understanding to that last one. And before the last one, if someone else hasn't arrived yet, for we will not sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb until all the elect are prepared and ready for the transformation. Now, notice that this ministry, he says he will preach even to the lost, and it is an adopted ministry. Never lose sight of that. How was Jesus adopted back then? Notice, he went on just the same, which that mystery is being gradually opened, what the adoption is. And that ministry, remember that one thing is the adoption of that person, another thing is the adoption of that ministry, another thing is the adoption as a group, as an age, as a dispensation. Now, notice on that page 114, paragraph 1002, it says, the woman that lives in worldly pleasure is dead while she's living. In other words, she can be alive, but is dead. And if she rejects mercy, she can cross the separating line. How is mercy spurned at this end time? By rejecting the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Do you want to know if, before God, if God is looking at you with eyes of mercy? Well, if you are believing what God promised in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, if you're not believing that, then you are on that line, he says. She can cross the separating line where there is no place for her no more. And then, where is she at with her painted eyes, her cut hair? And she's crossed the line with no way to come back. And there's got to be a ministry. And he writes Moses and Elijah, preach to her. But remember, at that time, it's all over. It's done. In other words, there will no longer be mercy on the throne of intercession in heaven, which he was making intercession. He is as judge. Throne of judgment. It's just a hunting. There will be a ministry, and he writes Revelation 11:3, there will be a ministry that will show great wonders. Joel said so. But there'll be no time for redemption. See? There will be no time for mercy. To be born again, to obtain the theophanic body and prepare for transformation, which is what we have been talking about in an early excerpt, which Brother William told us. Instead, they come to prepare themselves to receive the divine judgments of the great tribulation. But there'll be no time for redemption. It's all over. The Lamb has done, took his book, and he's redeemed. Is over. Notice that in order to obtain the eternal and glorified body, and to obtain the rapture in faith, and to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, notice that what God is doing at this end time is a quick work. And we can say that there is so much revelation in which God is opening our understanding, the scripture to us, opening that seventh seal to us, opening to us what the seventh seal is to the church, is the seventh trumpet to Israel. What the coming of the Lord is to the church is Moses and Elijah to the Hebrew people, and all those things. But first, God would be working in the midst of his church in the great 10th cathedral. All that knowledge and all that teaching, notice, for those who are going to be transformed and raptured, because they are there studying with that teaching. For those who are not going to receive those blessings, well, they don't care. They will continue doing the same thing. In other words, they are not preparing themselves for that. Instead, what they are going to receive, they only have to understand and comprehend at certain moment that they are going to go through the great tribulation. They will not need faith for that. Now, he continues saying, it is all over. The Lamb has done, took his book, and he's redeemed, is over. That is, notice, the redemption is over. That is, the time of mercy is over. Now, above he told us, if she spurns mercy, which in the book of the seals, he told us, they have spurned God's mercy for the last time, which was manifested in Moses and Elijah, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. In other words, at that time, he's already talking about when they would no longer have an opportunity, because that ministry had already worked, and they had rejected it. It's all over. The Lamb has done, took his book, and his redeem is over. And Jesus first preached and was rejected, and then went and hunted those that were in there, preached to them that were in prison, could not repent, no time for salvation. That same ministry, and he writes Moses and Elijah, will have to repeat again. Back then, he had to go down to the fifth dimension. Now the fifth dimension is being opened on earth. He will not have to go down in his theophanic body, but rather in that same body is where he will be preaching to them. Now, all of that has a way, and all of that is what is opening up at this end time. What the sixth dimension is and what the fifth dimension is. But we are still here. God will know how to protect his elect. The rest will continue to do things, and they will then enter the fifth dimension, which will be fully opened when the great tribulation is in full fulfillment. That same ministry will have to repeat again. What if that could be the third pull to the eternal lost? What if it is there? I hope it's not. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. What if it is? God forbid. I got children, see? But he sure looks pretty close here. Now notice what he tells us there about what would be happening in the third pool, where God would be operating that ministry of Moses and Elijah, which happened back then in the time of Jesus, when he preached to those in prison who could no longer repent. That is, they did not have an opportunity to repent who were disobedient in the time of Noah. Now notice what Brother William continues saying here. This third pool will be for the church bride, to speak to them blessings. He was just telling us that there will be a minister that will preach to the lost. But he also says, this third pool will be for the church bride, to speak to them the blessings, so that they will receive the faith to be transformed and raptured, receiving the revelation of the seventh seal. For the elect, the blessings. For the make-believers and for the unbelievers, rather, they will say, but this man is speaking about divine judgment and curses and all of that. He will come preaching, tormenting, see? He says, when they tormented the world by their preaching. So they will be preaching. And that is why, then the tares, they don't like to be exposed, uncovered. And to them, it's madness. To them, it's torment. But to the elect, he says there, those are blessings, see? Blessings to some, and curses, divine judgments, to others. He says, for the church bride, to speak to them the blessings, so that they will receive the faith to be transformed and raptured, receiving the revelation of the seventh seal. And also that third pull will work for the foolish virgins. It will also work for the 144,000 Hebrews, and will also work for the lost. For the lost, not for salvation, because the door of mercy is already closed in heaven, and there will no longer be time to enter into the mystical body of Christ, and obtaining therefore first the new birth, but it will then be for them to get strength to go through the great tribulation, and to give up their lives in the great tribulation. Now notice everything that the third pool entails, which is the entire human family. The third pool impacts everyone. Jesus Christ, the King of Peace. Let us stand and thus leave on this subject Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.